out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 117. This is the Sleepers for the Week edition here, Caffeination. I hope everybody understands where that's coming from, a new child and all. So, yeah, this is a test episode, shall we say. We reconfigured a couple of things down in the Caffeination headquarters in the hopes of trying to fix whatever issues we had with the audio last time. So we're going to be stopping a couple points in time during the show so that we don't end up having to re-record the whole thing all at once again. We have everything pretty much set up the way we had it before. It just seems like there was a bad connection somewhere within the myriad of cables that string back and forth across the desk here. So, yeah, it's been kind of fun trying to figure out what that was, and I got to admit to you, there were several times that night where there was no episode coming out one way or another. So this episode, hopefully we'll have a much better story at the end of it. Something that I'm hopefully going to record, turn into an MP3, upload, and then publish. That's it. That's all I really want to do to this. All right. Like I said, this is Caffeination 117. I believe we've produced somewhere in the neighborhood of 120 shows. There's been like three or four unnumbered ones. So this is an unprecedented, at least for us, literally unprecedented, but I never thought I'd make it this far. So I'd like to thank all of the listeners out there, anybody who's ever listened to the show. So if you've listened to the show for more than one episode, thank you very much for coming back. You are part of the reason that we do this. And if this is your first time here, hi, welcome to our little group here. If you're looking for the podcast and then you're listening to it over at the stream at the Tech Podcast Network, then you can find it at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. You can send us comments, feedback, whatever else you'd like to over at caffeination@gmail.com. And if you'd like to subscribe to our mailing list, you can head on over to caffeination.com and click the register button up at the very top, or you can just send an email to caffeination@gmail.com and say, bug me twice a week, please. All right, first off, we'd just like to talk a little bit about our sponsor. Our sponsor is GoToMeeting. These days, whether you're in business or you simply want to share something with family and friends, email and voicemail just aren't enough. That's why you should try GoToMeeting, an online meeting solution that will revolutionize how you communicate with your business associates, your family, and your friends. GoToMeeting makes it easy to provide training and share information with everyone. All you need is your PC, an internet connection, and a phone. You invite people to meet you online. Your attendees will see your computer screen on their monitors. And best of all, you can meet as long as you want, as often as you need, for one flat rate. But don't take my word for it. Give it a shot yourself. Free for 45 days. No credit card is needed. Just visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and type in the promo code PODCAST. That's PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com, the Try It Free button, and the promo code PODCAST. Try GoToMeeting free today. All right, now that we've got that up and out of the way, we can head on to the two minor things we wanted to talk to you a little bit about. First off, on the last episode, we incorrectly labeled BlendTech as a fictional company. Apparently, according to our listeners, BlendTech is a very real company, so I'd just like to throw that out there. They make very high-powered smoothies, or smoothie maker blenders, obviously. Yeah. Try and get that one out, Paul. All right, and the second thing is we'd like to thank everybody for the well wishes that were sent to my father-in-law. He is currently out of the hospital, and everything is running much smoother than it had been. So they removed at least one kidney stone that around the size of a golf ball. So, yeah, more than a little hardcore there. And that about wraps up for anything else we needed to really take care of today. Just pretty much having a pretty nice weekend. Everything was relatively busy, relatively relaxing at the same time, if that makes any sense. We wrapped up pretty much most of the stuff on the bathroom. That's all done. Everything else in the house is going swimmingly until the next project's up and arrives. So we have a tech tidbit section for you today here, nice and fleshed out. We're planning on a shorter episode tonight because I am incredibly tired. But every time I say we're planning for a short episode, it ends up being the same length anyway. So there's less stories, but there might be more babble. We'll just calm down and say that. Short little answer about why we're so tired here at the Caffeination today. The boy was up right around 5:30 this morning when he should have been up at, like, I don't know, 7 or 8, because he went to bed exceedingly late last night. So It was my morning. All right. First up in the tech tidbit section, we have a return of an old section today. This is This Day in Tech. This Day in Tech, or approximately the 26th, which is, should be the time most people are going to download this episode, the 26th of March. I lost my place here. The 26th of March in 1999, a very popular virus, Melissa, actually shut down internet mail systems and clogged all emails and everything. This actually, during this time, I was actually working for the Unix group as a student worker for the university that I now work for as a full-time worker. And it was really funny because everybody was getting this virus going around, and I didn't get it. I mean, even though I received the virus several times in the university system, never got infected because I was reading all my email on the Unix server. So it was kind of a nice little prophylactic, so to speak, for any kind of issues that might have happened. I was reading it in plain text on the server, so it says, oh, would you like to open up this Word document? You show me a way I can open up the Word document in Pine, and I'll let you infect the machine at that point. So I just wanted to throw it out there. Just remember the fond days of viruses gone by. You know, we're talking about NIMDA, Code Red, and all those real fun ones. So like most other viruses out there, this one required you to do something in order to seal your fate there. So Melissa required you to open up a infected Word document, and it would make itself quite at home on your computer. It stole whole bunch of information. So kind of fun to think about where we've come from, and the fact that we still are very much at risk for those kind of viruses today. Not necessarily the specific type of virus that Melissa was, but more and more the viruses that people are putting out are actually just exploits. So, you know, getting a user to do something stupid on their end. So practice safe computing, you know what I mean? All right, now the second thing up here is actually partially a link from one of our listeners, Chris. Thank you. It's a area where you can go to warn the population about different things. He was inspired by one of the stories that we talked about here a while ago about the help desk sign that said, warning, stupid questions will allow or enable the help desk to set you on fire. So, all right, sorry, I actually, if you go over to the website that's linked first up, the warning, they actually, okay, I have to stop reading the warning signs. If you go over to the website, which is majorerrornot.net/signs, then you can actually create your own funny warning signs. These are, you know, large scale that you can print them out. And then I was looking around online today, and I found a one that you can actually create web banners with. So they're both linked up there. It's kind of fun to play around with that. If you look at the show notes for today's episode, it says, warning, podcaster has been caffeinated beyond legal levels. Please stand back. So yes, we are highly caffeinated today, as always, but still felt we need to warn people. And then the other one over on the site, every time you go over to that, some of them might not be safe for work, but some of them are incredibly hilarious. But the very geekish one right here, but it says, be careful, and it's actually from an eyewash station. It says, be careful up at the top. The Eye of Sauron has turned towards Gondor. So there's other ones there. It says, we're not into dogs like you are. And then every once in a while, you also see warning signs. Like whenever you go on there and you create one, it's added to their gallery. So they kind of scroll by every once in a while, every time you refresh the page. So every once in a while, you'll see one that's directed specifically at some person. Like the last one that I saw there was Melissa Diggins, something about her. So if you happen to see that one, you'll know what I'm talking about. But let's see what else we have here. Now this, we're starting to enter into that gray area of the technological calendar. Like to warn everybody about all the product announcements and anything you might hear from, let's just say, last week on out, because we've been burned in the years past. But the reason it starts from last year, it's basically all centers around the April Fool's holiday. And the fact that if magazines want to play an April Fool's joke, they have to set their jokes in motion a little bit earlier, because it actually you know, has to go out to print. So sometimes it gets leaked to the press, sometimes it gets put on their website. So there's something from a sci-fi tech blog. starts off getting labeled too good to be true, so that right there might let you know that there just may be something. It says a transparent battery that has a picture of a thumb and a forefinger holding up what appears to be a piece of very thin plexiglass, and it says, first of all, they start with inflated claims of performance, or at least what appear to be inflated claims. They say it has a polymer claim, or it has a life of in excess of 1,000 rechargings, which is understandable. Can reach full charge in only a minute. All right, now we're starting to get into the you sure about this? It's clear, but okay, fine, you can make a clear battery. That's really cool. And it's 200 nanometer thick polymer, so it's like 1/5 of a millimeter, I believe. I think nanometer is the next thing down from millimeter. I'm not really sure. But let me actually check. I love Google. You can just type in all kinds of things. But 1/1,000,000th of a meter. So I think that's the next thing down from millimeter. Yeah. Sorry. But so it's an incredibly small, incredibly thin, clear, flexible plastic, which apparently has some kind of battery-like capabilities. So that's going to be the next thing to power your laptops. No longer are they going to go into the jet turbine powered by butane models. No. They're actually looking into plastics. So that could be kind of interesting. I wonder how well they work in landfills, because the current crop of batteries has somewhat of a problem with that. Next thing we have up here from the Sci-Fi Tech blog yet again is a instant touchscreen. Have you ever thought, you know what would really go well on this laptop? If I could write stuff on the screen, if I could just make notes. I have in work a Wacom tablet, which is a separate piece of hardware which you use a special pen on, and it uses pressure sensitivity and all this other kind of crazy stuff to allow you to figuratively use a pen and paper on the screen. So it's very cool, but you can't actually write on the screen itself unless you spend several $1,000s for the model. So there is apparently, if you want a touchscreen PC, there's a new thing that you clip onto the side of your laptop. I don't know if you can clip it onto the side of a CRT, but there was actually no pricing on that there, but apparently it works with almost any pen, it's roughly $130. That's what they actually said. It's actually being demonstrated at all these different things. It looks just basically like it's actually a special pen. It's from HP. So, okay, I guess it is real. But it shows you it's like all kinds of spatial recognition. It knows where it is on the screen. There's a receptor on one side of your laptop, so it's probably not something you would use on an airplane, basically because it kind of looks a little intimidating. So I could just see, you know, the less gadgets that you have to pull out on an airplane at this point to get your job done, the better, because the more people start eyeballing you. So if you start writing stuff on the screen and pulling out things that clip onto the side and extra wires hanging out all over the place, people might start giving you the hairy eyeball just a little bit. So wanted to put that out there as interesting technology that we found pretty awesome. And I got to tell you, if you can hook this onto CRTs or something like that, that'd be something I would definitely play test at home. You know what I mean? We're actually looking into getting a little bit more of the review areas. So if there's products that anybody out there actually creates and they'd like us to review, please let us know. I mean, we'll send them right back after we're done, if at all possible. If we're reviewing food, obviously that's not the case. Next thing we have up here in the, like I said, this is a really light and kind of strange episode of the Caffeination here. Next thing we have up here is a kind of a joke that I used to play on, or a joke that I used to try and create. It's a mix between Ronald Reagan and the fact that he liked the Star Wars, he announced the Star Wars missile defense system, so Ronald Reagan and his ray gun. It was an incredibly bad pun that I was never actually able to formulate into a correct joke, so it always stuck with me for some reason. However, now we have two stories which I'm actually able to somehow at least put them out there at the same time. The first story is of an actual ray gun replica that you can buy. It's from over at blog.sci-fi.com. So if you have an extra $621, you can get this. It's called the Goliath. It's from science fiction movies like The Forbidden Planet and Flash Gordon. This is a crazy steampunk looking, has vacuum tubes off the back. Don't know if it actually has any kind of power, but it's called the Goliath 83 Infant Infinity Beam Projector. It's a detailed beam weapon created by the Weta Workshop, the guys who created all the stuff for, actually the people who created all the stuff for the Lord of the Rings movies. Actually have two of their creations in the basement right now. They make unbelievably detailed stuff. It's really crazy. When you actually look at some of the models that they you know, mass produced, they're still unbelievably well done. And $631 will buy, or $21 rather, will buy you one of these special limited edition ray guns. Unfortunately, they're only making 500 of them, so if that's your thing, get it while supplies last. And then the next thing is another This Day in Tech thing, basically. But apparently, March 23rd, 1983, President Reagan announced his Star Wars missile defense program. So basically, it was taking a series of satellites and everything using laser technology and all other kinds of crazy technology. Who said it was going to be a space-based battle station that would destroy ICBMs as they were going from Soviet Russia towards the United States. So it's never really came to fruition. According to the end blurb of the article, I mean, hey, we'd be more than willing to be stand corrected here, but according to the end of the article anyway, in 2007, the U.S. missile defense system pretty much remains the same as it always has been. Ground-based missile system designed to cope with individual ICBMs and not the all-encompassing shield envisioned by the SDI. So, all right, that's about it on that little strange side note. Now, the next thing I have here, another version of the Roomba, although from another company called the Figla. It's basically a Roomba for the street. So it's not like a homeless Roomba or anything like that. It still has its own docking station. People still love and tend to it. But rather, it's a Roomba that operates on the sidewalks and everything. According to this, it can operate for up to 2 hours per charge and covers 1,000 square meters per hour. So 3,000 square feet, which is pretty interesting. So I'm pretty sure it could do like a block or two at a shot. So you know, all we need to do is deploy them around the city, and then everybody will have a little clean section of sidewalk. But I'm also pretty sure that if everybody actually just went outside their houses and swept up their sidewalk, we wouldn't have this issue. I've lived in neighborhoods, and I've seen neighborhoods where you still saw the old guys going out and sweeping the actual street, something somebody from my generation really never would think to do. At least I never thought to do until I saw these older gentlemen doing it. And it just kind of showed a little bit of civic pride, I guess, a little bit of interest in the community that surrounds them. Kind of sad that kind of thing is gone by the wayside. Oh, this Roomba also has the added feature that the Japanese voice that plays out of it sounds disturbingly like Alvin and one of the chipmunks. So if you head on over to the link that we have thrown up at caffeination.com, which there's I think only one link, yeah, and that's headed over to Gizmodo. And basically, there's a video you can check out over there to see exactly how strangely similar it sounds to the thing. But actually, I don't want that one. What are we doing here? All right. Okay. But let's see what else we have here. And now we have a clock from the streets. This is a clock with a Glock attached to it. It's kind of using the light gun technology. Actually, I believe it is using the actual light gun technology, and it's tethered, so I don't really see it as being a good idea. But imagine a clock that's in the shape of kind of a shot put with the bottom leveled out so that you could still have it sitting someplace. And then you have a tethered gun attached to it. And apparently you can use the gun to set it in different ways and turn it off. If that was me, I'm unfortunately very violent with my alarm clocks. That's why they're all the way across the room. Any combination of a gun and an alarm clock, unless it involves the alarm clock ceasing to function after that, I don't really want to do it. I mean, I'm not coherent enough to angle it upwards to snooze for 5 minutes, downwards to turn it off completely, I don't know, cock to the left to set it to Istanbul time. No, I would throw the gun at the alarm clock, even if it wasn't tethered. So, I don't really see a market for this, but apparently they said it's somewhere around... No, I'm sorry. They don't actually have a price for it. They just talked about a different alarm clock. And then taking that, you know, small little bit of information there, and you know, it's probably going to be a relatively cheap thing there. But what do we have here? And now we have the most expensive laptop ever, the $1 million prize club, apparently. It's a... Okay, sorry. It's the $1 million laptop that they have out there now. I'm sure everybody's going to run right out and get one. There's no specs on it, or no open pictures of it, but apparently the laptop exists in a special slide-out case, so all kinds of piano featured. I'm pretty sure it has all kinds of expensive materials inlaid in it. It's a 17-inch widescreen monitor, or a special anti-reflective coating, I assume, to keep people of a lesser value from looking at your equipment. Does not have a traditional hard drive. Now, this is where I start to actually get interested in the machine itself. Does not have a normal hard drive in which a series of platters on the inside spin around and then the data recorded that way. No, this actually has a 128 gigabyte solid state hard drive, which is incredibly expensive. But now you understand why that it has the the information, or the they're starting to get up there in price. Maybe not $1 million. It does have a slot loading Blu-ray drive, so that's worth at least, you know, 200, but insane. Now, not even $200,000. I don't really get how they got up to $1 million, but and also there's no real explanation of what it looks like when you open it up. I mean, this thing would need to have like scores of small children carry it around for me and type what I speak to them in order for me to even consider spending anywhere near that amount of money on just a laptop. First of all, because laptops are notoriously easy to get stolen. So you could just see that. I mean, this is not going to be something that, you know, your average trendsetter takes into Starbucks to pop open surf free Wi-Fi. Now, this is the kind of thing that some millionaires take on jets with them, just to show all their other friends how much money they can spend on a relatively innocuous item. No venom at all in that. Tech Talk, we're still looking for a topic for this week. We're not really sure what we're going to cover. The Media Center thing kind of fizzled out because I'm actually having issues with my home network and a couple other things and haven't really had the chance to sort them out. But anything you'd like to hear us talk about, please feel free to send on over to caffeination@gmail.com. We'll give it our best shot to explain and talk about everything and anything that you want us to in the realm of tech, be it coffee or technology, actually, because we're trying to find all kinds of different things people want to hear about. First up in the caffeinated bits section, just two little things, then we're going to head you on your way, and we are unbelievably early at this point. There's only 22 minutes in... Man, I don't know. Maybe I should babble for another 30 or 40 minutes. But we have two little things, then we're going to get you on out of here. This is actually a short episode. Yes, I'm at break point right now. This is awesome. I don't even know how this came across my desk when it did, but imagine you have a normal bottle or jar of Nescafe, and you're like, you know what? I could really go for some hot instant coffee. Not many people would say that. I mean, personally, I wouldn't go for Nescafe. I think it tastes like a rusty drain water, but hey, to each his own. I actually like the Chock Full of Nuts instant coffee. That's my high end. Taster's Choice and Nescafe are relatively on the low end for me. I'm not a big fan of either. Folgers, very good. Maxwell Health, not so much. But I digress. Onward to the geekishly crazy way they heat it up. Well, a bunch of scientists get together. You have what could be described as rather large laser. Yes, that would be a 67 kilowatt laser. All right, and you're going to take that and... you know what? I'm actually incorrect on this. This is a 2 kilowatt laser. There's a link at the bottom of the article talking of a 67 kilowatt laser. Still, a 2 kilowatt laser is much more of a laser than I actually currently have. So they still get major props for that. But you take a 2 kilowatt laser, a series of bored scientists, and four mugs, and what do you get? Yes, laser heated coffee. I would love to see if it tasted any different, if there was a different chemical composition because it was heated with a laser. Because, you know, some lasers, in order to create their, you know, have the beam visible, they're actually carried over an inert gas. So I'm wondering if that gas somehow gets shoved into the coffee. Completely talking off the top of my head here, no idea at all. But I would like to see a little bit more information on this. There's a wonderful... video that's up there in case you don't agree or don't think that they actually did it. I started to play it there for a half second or so, but there's nothing really to do. I mean, it's a lot of extra noise in the background. I assume it's for all the cooling that it takes, but there's no real cool laser noises. Like, for instance, right now, all you're hearing is the same fan that goes across the entire back of the video, but there's no lasery noise. The cups do glow blue and have smoke coming out of them as they cook, which is awesome in and of itself. So we have three versions of the article over there, so you can pick and choose your poison. The next little thing we have here is not actually a caffeinated bit, but rather just a beverage of choice kind of bit. I don't know how many people out there are very large wine drinkers, not very large people drinking wine, that is, but rather people who enjoy a good bottle now and then. But have you ever wondered, you know, I could really go for a little bit of Cabernet Sauvignon right now, but later on I think I could go for a Pinot Grigio, maybe a little Merlot. Well, if you had this machine in your house, you wouldn't have to worry about that, because this taps wine bottles, up to 8 bottles, soda fountain style, so I'm not really sure it's for your true connoisseurs, but I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce the name. It's rather interestingly spelled, but up to 8 of your favorite bottles of wine, and it keeps them keeps them all nice and fresh, all temperature controlled, humidity controlled, has an antioxidation system. It throws inert nitrogen gas into the chamber. I mean, this alone is enough to include it on the Caffeination podcast. Anything that uses inert nitrogen gas is inherently cool. I mean, that ranks right up there with monkeys, ninjas, pirates, robots, pretty much, and toasters. I don't know why toasters worked their way in there somehow, but they did, so we're all just going to have to deal with the fact that they're in there. Let's see what else we have here. That was it. Like I said, I'm not going to babble for another 30 minutes if I don't have enough content to back it up. There's a lot of stuff that I actually cut out of today's episode because either I've seen it way too many other places or heard about it, and I was like, you know what? It's not really something that I feel that I should be wasting people's time with tonight. There was plenty of other stuff to waste your time with tonight. So I hope you enjoyed this podcast. This, like I said, has been a relatively short one, in case you hadn't noticed. We're not even going to hit 30 minutes probably here. But I wanted to tell you where you can go to find longer editions of this of other episodes and even more episodes like it. You can head on over to www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. That's where this podcast lives, works, and plays. You can find it there. Or you can head on over to or you can send us an email to caffeination@gmail.com, and you get the show notes in your inbox. We're a proud member, the Caffeination, that is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. We're also proudly listed over at blueberry.com. That's B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. That's Blueberry without the E's. It's a social podcasting network site, kind of like MySpace for podcasts. And our podcast lives over at www.myspace.com/caffeination if you're looking for that. We accept any and all friend requests, so please feel free to come over and spam us. We enjoy it. It's kind of fun. All right. That is about it for today's show. Hope you all enjoyed it. We'd like to thank everybody who's listened to this show. Again, like I said, without listeners like you, you know, we're like PBS without the begging. Without listeners like you, this show would not continue to exist. So send all your send all your little comments and everything in, please. Thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.